Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host of tonight's show. I'm also the publisher of Healing Hands magazine. And there's a film that opens March the 20th, 2015. It's called Do You Believe? And it has an all-star cast. It's a Christian film. And Sybil Shepherd talks about the film. Let's listen to what she has to say.
I play Terry, and Lee Majors plays my husband, and we have quite a journey to go on. We lose our daughter, and that is something that my character is never going to recover from. And Lee Majors' character, he's much more in touch with the Lord. He's trying to get me to open up to it, and I have a really negative thing, like, you know, I've carried my cross for 20 years, and, you know, why should I thank God when he allowed this to happen to me? So I'm the real cynic, and that the arc of my character, it turns out that I get redeemed.
That's okay.
Okay. Oh, green bean?
That was hard to get. Would you like some corn?
No, have a nice day.
Is this your first time volunteering?
Yes, it is.
And the last.
I just keep serving, sweetheart.
Would you like some mac and cheese?
Me, thanks.
It's called the lactose. It doesn't agree with those.
Is that so?
Yeah, but I'll also know food. I'm a big fan of cheese.
You sure know a lot about food.
Yeah, I know about a lot of stuff. I'm Lily.
Well, pleasure to meet you, Lily. I'm J.D., my wife, Terry. You know, it's about time for our break. Mind if the two of us join you?
Sure. See you guys over there.
It's great to take your family to something that says, do you believe? And then you have something to talk about. Even if, you know, some people may say, oh, I don't believe it at all. And some people say, well, I kind of consider it a little more. It brings up so many contemporary questions of how do people get along? How do they survive? How do people that have no hope get it back?
The clip we just saw, since this is radio and you can't see it, it is Lee Majors and Sybil Shepherd. They're volunteering in a Salvation Army soup kitchen, and they're feeding the people who are vulnerable to the most extreme type of poverty. We also have another clip from Sean Austin, the film, Do You Believe?
So I played Dr. Farrell, who is, I guess he's an atheist. It's an interesting character to play in a Christian film, representing a specific point of view. And I guess the challenge with Dr. Farrell was just to make sure that it wasn't depicted as someone evil or someone who's, kind of worthy of scorn, but someone who maybe just doesn't see things from a Christian perspective. And his relationship with Andrea, Dr. Farrell's relationship with Andrea, is emblematic of a skeptical background. Her character is eager to literally prosecute people who she thinks have practiced excessive faith. And my character has essentially a disdain for people who have public displays of faith. So, and their relationship ultimately won't survive that tone.
I'm the one who saves these people. And who do they think when they wake up? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, I get it. I grew up with these people. But you got a God complex.
No, I don't. This is not a complex. I do his work. I should get the credit. At least some of the time.
You know, these kind of movies, they really try and show the interconnectedness of human lives. And there's a lot of ways, technique-wise, to achieve that. And I like that in this film, there's literally a physical, I'm looking in the eyes. I'm using the flashlight, the doctor's pen light, to look into the eyes. You know, if the eyes are the window to the soul, is he just looking in there because he's because that's his job, or is there something, you know, the light is an important idea in, you know, Christianity. So I like that the motifs and the symbols, and to make that authentic and to make it credible, you know, to make it believable, requires a real commitment on the part of the actors. And Boz was just, he just went there. There was absolute determination on his part to make it as rich and alive as it could possibly be, and Mira played off of him. The way they worked together was beautiful. And my role was just to come in with Valerie and just kind of reluctantly bear witness to what they were doing, both as actors and as characters. So pretty cool.
This is Dr. Summer Reed, and we just saw a clip with Sean Austin in it. And the clip we just saw was talking about poverty. And I'm going to talk about extreme poverty. Extreme poverty is life-threatening. It means not having enough food, water, and fuel, as well as lacking adequate shelter, health care, and education. It affects approximately 1 billion people, which is roughly the equivalent of the entire population of the Americas. Yet most people in places like Western Europe and the North Americas have never known a person in extreme poverty. So this is radio and you can't see what I'm talking about, but let's take a little trip here. I'm introduced to a family who lives in Rwanda, Africa, and his name is Mubishuma, Africa, and he lives with his wife and 5 children, and they have a 6th child, unfortunately, who died from malaria. I'm going to quote him. He says, "My father had to divide his land among 6 of us. My share was so small that I only had to move my family to a town. My wife and I work at carrying sacks of stone and sand. Our home has no windows at all. We get our water from a well at the police station, and we usually have 1 meal a day. But when there is no work, we have no food the entire day." He says, "I go without sometimes, and that's what happens. But," he says, "I do that because I can't bear listening to my children cry when they do not have any food." That's a look at extreme poverty. There's another family, Victor and Carmen. They live in an isolated town in Bolivia with their 5 children, and they rent a 1-room dilapidated adobe building with a leaky tin roof and no electricity whatsoever. That's extreme poverty. The school is so crowded that Victor has to make a desk for his daughter so that she could attend. The couple walks their 6 children to school, which is about 10 kilometers, to cut firewood for cooking food and for bottling drinking water. Since we have no toilet, Carmen says, so we have to go down by the river, which is also used for bathing and gathering. Dumping garbage. The children often get sick because of the condition. Another family we're going to meet is Sisto and his wife, and they live in a rural area in Mozambique. And there's 4 of them. This took me up. They have 4 children. One of their children died of malaria when the hospital they went to was not a big fall. The couple, they grew enough rice to feed their children. Which is enough food to provide for 3 months. But after the 3 months, he's on our own. We've got a quote from Francisco. He says, "Sometimes the rain fails to come or seeds on the crop. So I make a little money by cutting or selling bamboo. For construction. Also, construction firewood from the bus. And they walk 2 hours. Tries by carrying much of the load, and she does this by cooking for other people. And he says, it's rough, but that's what they have to do. Many people feel that this, that there's something wrong with this. And, wow. To be honest, 1 out of 7 people live their lives like this, where Victor and Francisco live. While millions of other people live in prosperity, they do not. Let's take a look at another couple of extreme poverty. People who are wealthy have put an end to poverty for themselves, but efforts to relieve all mankind of poverty have always failed because the wealthy generally do not want anything or anyone to spoil their privilege. Can people with influence and power change society to eliminate world poverty? Yes. Yes, they can. In the 19th century, a few nations amassed wealth through trade and industry, and some influential people. And the question is, could the Earth's resources be distributed more evenly? That's true. It could be. Many hope that all nations would adopt the socialism aspect or even a utopia, but not possible. A few wealthy nations even adopted aspects of socialism to establish welfare states. When they claim they have eliminated life-threatening poverty among their people, but it hasn't affected the entire world yet. There is a way to end poverty, but it's not the people not being selfish. Some people have resented having to provide for the poor, and the Bible says that there is no man right that has not sinned. The true God gave mankind upright, but by which sin has sought out many coins, as Ecclesiastes 7:20. There are four ways that helping poor nations to get out of poverty would be more difficult than helping wealthy nations to recover from the poor. Europe already had industry trade and tools, but the economy just needs repairing. In poor countries, even with foreign aid provided, growing schools couldn't keep themselves suffering from extreme poverty. The cycles of poverty are extremely complex and not easily broken. But even malnourished children can be so weakened and physically and mentally that when they grow up, they cannot care for their own children. Extreme poverty is the result when nations, governments, and individuals act only to promote and protect self-interest. There is hope. There is hope. But it takes everyone. There's a lot more to have at times. We'll go into more of these issues in this program. But take a look at the film launch today.
Millions of years and millions.
Poverty and talking about the film Do You Believe? And this is our final clip from Valerie Dominguez.
My character's name is Elena. Elena, she's a very dedicated, hardworking mother, wife, nurse. She really wants the best for her family, the best for her husband, and the best for her patient.
You, gonna be home for dinner?
Maribel decided it's time for the flu, so I'm working a double.
Again.
Hey, you're the one always saying we need extra money.
No, I'm the one saying we need to spend less so we don't need the extra money.
Better run. Her struggle to maintain her family together with all the conflicts she's having, the struggles we all have in one time or another in our lives, just make her so human. And Elena has faith, but not the same kind of faith Bobby has. So there's a moment where Bobby needs to give Jesus Christ his whole life, and she doesn't share that with him. So to prove a point, you're willing to risk everything.
I'm not trying to prove a point. I'm trying to be faithful.
And you were. The guy's safe in heaven now, thanks to you and Jesus. End of story.
Sure, he is. What about the next guy?
Well, I think this story will reach people that believe and people that don't believe, because it will be in the movies. And that's the beauty of movies. When you go to the movies, you're exposed to new ideas. So people that don't believe, they're not going to church to believe. In this case, they're going to movies, to the movies. So they will be exposed to this new idea for them. And, well, they'll decide if they'll get closer to their faith or if they will have faith or not.
This is Dr. Summer Reed saying good night or good morning, wherever you are. I'm sending you a hug. And if you can, try and get a little green tea in your life. It'll boost your immune system. HealingHandsMagazine.com. And depending where you are in the world, catch the Dr. Summer Show.